Let's go to 1 Peter, chapter 1. What we studied and talked about a great deal last week was that the gift of faith of the Holy Spirit causes you to see that the kingdom of God is fully present and has been fully present since the day of the cross. And that essentially, from the standpoint of the gift of faith, you never again have to pay any attention to the passage of time, because the gift of God is eternal life. And so the believers are a group of people from all ages who understand that that fulfillment happened, and that mystery, it sounds almost, you know, some kind of transcendentalism, but it is transcendental. It's above and beyond all what we can perceive with our senses, because you have been invaded. You've been invaded from the beyond. I believe all men have been invaded. But it takes your failure and then your willingness to be empty to have that manifested. And so, as I've said so often, what every man and every woman that's ever been born essentially is born as a truth seeker. People ask the eternal question of Pontius Pilate. I guess he's the one that did it. What is truth? Well, truth is something that doesn't change with the passage of time. And that's the gift of God that has been given to you. That you can now live a life that isn't dependent on time. That has no relationship to time, other than that time is an instrument of the test of it, to see whether or not you really live it. Or do you constantly pay attention and give breath and give importance to the things that are happening in your life? If you do, then automatically you will become the center of your universe. So, to me, the gift of faith, which permits you to see this, there's nothing more important than it. Now, Peter made a proclamation that is critical. He said that we have been, in verse chapter 1, 1 Peter 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. He said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again." He's made us to be born again unto an alive hope, unto a lively hope. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now that has to be the foundation of your life. That this hope is centered in his resurrection, but not in the resurrection of 2,000 years ago. It's in the resurrection of him in you now, today. Fully realized. And the way that that's worked out is that your life is not your own from that point forth. And as long as you continue making judgments, thinking about this, thinking about that, having ideas, following your agendas, following your plans, then even though you have that gift, this thing that has been stored up for you, this humongous bank account, if you will, this secret stash, if you're in that vein, then it's just pure stupidity. Because every dream, everything you could hope for, everything you ever wanted to know, every aspiration of the human being is sitting there waiting for you to get tired of you. Now, I just have one question. Aren't you tired of you by now? The only way, we've talked a lot about boredom, that boredom isn't prophesying. Boredom isn't saying what's there. Well, what you get bored with is yourself, don't you see? Aren't you kind of bored to death of yourself? Can't you just let it go? Is there something that you still have to do, or some plan that you have to perfect? Well, this sounds, again, it sounds unbelievable. How can I just let go? How can I just The bottom line is you can't until you've come to the end of yourself. If you haven't come to the end of yourself, then I would beg of you to hurry up and go do whatever you think you got to do. But He's begotten us again unto an alive hope by the resurrection of Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, that doesn't disappoint, for which you will never be again bored, where there is always a sense of purpose and awe and excitement in your life. And all it takes is for you to empty you. Flush it. I think I'm going to start using flush you instead of empty. Just flush the toilet. Now, everything in the Old Testament pointed to this fulfillment. And everything in the New Testament rests on the confidence that that fulfillment is there in you. Not to be buried and resurrected, running around constantly, you know. Let's go to Titus. Everybody know where Titus is? Take a left from Peter and go back just before Hebrews. Chapter 2. Verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Paul said in Colossians, the gospel has been preached to every creature under heaven. It's not your job to go preach. Your job is to believe. If you believe, you'll speak. If you speak, other people will hear. But if you continue to speak and your language is the same as it's always been, and you just live your life as you've always lived it, alone in your temple, constructing sentences. And you realize, of course, that your mind, your this thing up here, It's a courtroom. You're the defendant. You're the judge. You're the jury, and you're the executioner. And you sit around pronouncing judgments on yourself or on others, consumed with self. That's why we have drug addicts. So you can look at a drug addict and see the picture of yourself, consumed and totally addicted to yourself. Remember the definition of insanity? Is to continue to do the same thing over and over again, but expect different results? Is it possible to believe that the whole human race is insane? You continue to do the same things over and over and over again. Planning, scheming, negotiating, expecting to get different results. And again, you fall on your ass again. And thinking back in my life before I was a believer, I can see the tens of thousands obstacles that he put in my way. I can see how I knew when I was very young that everything was empty and vain and fruitless. But I couldn't hear. I was insane. I kept doing the same thing over and over and over, expecting different results. I dated 60 jillion women expecting a different result. Now, what have you done? What agenda have you had? What thing, what purpose, what plan have you had that you kept producing? You kept doing it over and over and over and over again, expecting different results. I should say, what plan have you hadn't, or did you not have? Everything is, that's the essence of what we believe, that the efforts of humankind will end in emptiness and futility. But now today, some of you will go out and do the same damn thing you've done 500,000 million times. And this time you'll expect a different result. Does anybody have any response?
Well, that's the essence of the false hope we've been talking about.
That's right.
It's like a daily, everyday thing. I expect this is going to work this time.
Okay, again, chapter 2, verse 11 of Titus. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we would live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing or revelation of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority, let no man despise thee. If you open your eyes, wherever you go in the Scripture, you'll see the same message. That hope in the New Testament, or hope for a believer, is not some cartoon puff up there that you've written something in. It's certainty. Everything is centered in this resurrection. And if you don't know that, then don't give sleep to your eyes or rest to your head. If you're still living in the idea of, oh, I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do this, and then this is going to happen, and then I'm going to get this, and then this is going to... Then you're just a goddamn fool.
talking about this judgment courtroom scenario and the kids, and I was thinking, like, it's not a public trial. Usually it's a star chamber kind of thing where it's secret.
Oh, yeah.
You call a secret courtroom and pass all these judgments. And
The only reason that Paul exhorts everybody you to prophesy, to say what's there all the time, isn't because you'll be right. It's so that you can see with another witness how idiotic your judgments are your opinions. Well, Harry says, well, I'm always wrong. Damn right you are. So am I. Except about the revelation of Jesus Christ. That is our only hope. That is our only confidence. If you get mad at something, if you get upset at something, you're automatically wrong. If you leave the now to create a new universe, you're automatically wrong. But you will not. You don't want to hear that, so everything is secret. Or you go find someone else that you think will agree with you so you can empower that BS. The same with tailbearing and talking about people. It's just absolutely insane. But I'll go talk about somebody with somebody that I think will agree with me, and that'll empower it. Why don't you come and talk about other people to me? Oh, no, that never happens.
Not only.
The entire body of the Bible, from the hope of the Old Testament to the completion of the New Testament to the expression of that in you, is centered in one and one thing only: the resurrection of Christ. If you use the mystery for any other thing, then you are handling the Word of God deceitfully. You're mixing water with the wine. What? I hear the wheels grinding. What's going on? Well, you're obviously, you're not agreeing. Something else is going on. You're either preoccupied, or you're not hearing, or you're like, it's like a drain over there.
I was thinking about stuff a few seconds ago, but I'm a little less. That's a good one.
Yeah, I was
thinking
about that'll work.
The resurrection sealed his messiahship, and that's fine, but it sealed the end of that age, the end of the age of man. It was the declaration that from the point of view of God, from that point forward, the only purpose of the passage of time was the seeing if you would put your identity on anything. I'm dealing with this. I'm dealing with that. This is what I want to do. That's why people used to love to see new people come here. Aha, there's somebody that I can agree with. I can get in an alliance with me and my little tail bearing or judgments. Or
night with a bunch of balloons, letting them go up into the sky.
Everything is bound up in Him, is found only in Him, and is Him. Everything else is just... Go to Philippians 3. Verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Can you see if that statement is true, then it's axiomatic that any thought process that has you as the subject of the sentence is dumb. It's meaningless. What things are gained to me are lost to Christ. I'll pick on Buckner since he isn't here. For years and years and years, he blamed his inability to comprehend the totality of the mystery in that he didn't have enough time to study like I did. I haven't gained or understood or learned one thing about the mystery of God since the day I became a believer. The only thing I did was, by studying, was to confirm that this is true. Whatever things were gained to me are a loss to Christ. Do you understand that? Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Now, it's no big deal to suffer the loss of all things. All you have to do is be stupid or be incompetent or be unlucky and you'll lose everything. But the next part of it, I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung. Anybody have any? Everybody knows what dung is, right? Anybody doesn't know what dung is? Excrement. That which is fit for the toilet. Unless you're really insane. And I'm going to sit around and mold my dung and paint it. I'm going to try to make it pretty, and I'll put makeup on my dung. I'll dress my dung up really beautiful so it'll be acceptable dung. Can you see that's what you do in your mind? My dung is better than their dung. My pile of dung is better than that pile of dung.
My dung's important.
My dung's important, yeah. Can you see why you must first recognize this? I've suffered the loss of all things, and I do count them but as dung. Again, so that the vessel is empty, so that the gift of faith that all have received can operate. So that you will change your point of view, so that this thing up here that you've empowered all your life will no longer control you. I don't feel like talking anymore. Except I'll finish this section. Shut up. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness or rightness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting or neglecting those things which are behind, and reaching unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The only thing that's necessary for you to do at this instant is to understand that within you, that is in within your flesh, within your capacities of mind and emotion and everything, dwelleth no good thing. It's always your enemy. And so just neglect all of that. All of that that has failed you 1,000,000 times. Forget about it. Neglect it and forget about it. A cliche. Time for cliches. This is the first day of the rest of his life in you. No more you. It's no longer I or you that live, but it's Christ that liveth in us. The life we now live from this point forward in the flesh, we live by the faith of the Son of God. It's over. It's finished. It's perfect. It's complete. Now empty all those dark caverns that are within you, that are keeping you tied, the cart rope, to the kingdoms of this world and the kingdom of darkness. Anybody have any response?
Well, like this is the last day of this.
Everybody understand perfectly? You know, I'm going to trick you. When your silence is a witness against you, you're inviting the Holy Spirit to go to war with you. If there's something in you that you don't understand, I'm sorry.
I don't feel like talking anymore. I was going to say, he didn't say, I've suffered the loss of all things and now I have a crown of righteousness. I'm building named after me.
You know, that was thinking the thing we're talking about, righteousness means rightness. You're right, because that is so perfect. Because nobody goes around thinking I'm righteous. They go around thinking I'm right, and it's just, and you think that all the time. You know, and that, to me, that was like the most wonderful kind of breakthrough understanding. You know, to see that, because that makes that happen right now all the time. You know, where you see that.
It makes all our opinions dung. Oh, no, mine are good. I got good opinions. I got good opinions about politics. Take it, big guy.